Hello and welcome to the final episode of the Pretty Girls Club in 2023. Woohoo! Cheer, quick. I was talking to the dog, man. Anyways, today we have a special co-host, which is this little puppy that I'm fostering. And she was crying, so we took her out and now she's on my lap and she's not crying. So you could say she loves me. But anyways, yeah, this is the final episode of 2023. So as you can tell from the title, in this episode, we are going to be speaking about my double Ds. You might be wondering, what is there to say? You know, it's there, it's in our faces. What more can I possibly do? But actually, there are two very big things that I want to address. So the double Ds that I want to talk about today is the fact that I have both depression and diabetes. Why so dramatic? For what? I don't know. But anyways, if you are listening to this episode and not watching it, then honestly, what are you doing? So watch it on Spotify or YouTube or anywhere else that I can upload a video. And you will see this very cute puppy on me as we get into everything that I just revealed. So yeah, this year has been quite a bit because I figured out this was the year of me finding out that I had both those things that I just talked about. Before we get into the two big things, maybe we can just talk about this season of the Pretty Girls Club in general and how, just my thoughts since we are coming to the end of 2023. So I'm really glad I finally started the podcast again and like got it back started and was pretty consistent. But then the end of the year, it was a little bit like difficult to keep up with the episodes. To be super honest, it was also because it was just a lot going on and I wanted to be able to comfortably keep up with the episode, you know, in terms of just schedule and consistency and finances also. And it got to a point where it was a bit difficult too. So I didn't want to like force it and I didn't want to just like, okay, you know what, I have to do an episode every week and then force myself to do it even though it wasn't ideal, like the circumstances weren't ideal lah. So yeah, that's why it took a little bit of like a random break here and there, but I'm glad I still try to keep it as consistent as I possibly could. So this will be the final episode of the year, and I do want to talk about these two big things that I kind of addressed and figured out, and my journey, I guess, dealing with these two things in 2023, because this was the year it happened. And yeah, I'm really proud of myself for doing this podcast. So thank you for listening. If you guys have been listening from like Chimey Bitch days also, thank you for that. But if you are new and you just started listening to Pretty Girls Club, then hello and welcome. We will still be making episodes in 2024 and we are planning to like always try and make it better and more fun for everyone involved. So we are always looking to just like, how can we, like, what can we do differently? Or how can we like make this more, like just more fun? Because we are having fun, but we just want to make it a more exciting process, because right now it's still like I'm doing many big episodes, but I still want to figure out a way for me to do shorter form episodes and just talk about way more ridiculous things and not necessarily like big, like daunting topics every single episode, because I feel like that's generally what I choose to talk about on my podcast, but I just want to make it more chaotic and silly lah, to be honest. So that's the vibe that I'm going for in 2024. So I did my like Spotify Wrapped thing and I saw the stats of like my podcast listeners. So thank you guys for listening and for listening from all over the world as well, not just Singapore, and for sharing the episodes and also for liking all the ridiculous episodes that I also had the most fun filming, like the relationship X episode and also the episode where we talked about cheating assholes. Clearly too many people could relate, huh? So unfortunately that episode did really well. But let me know what else you guys want to see me talk about and who else you might want to see on the podcast as well, like any of my friends that you have seen and love. Just let me know and we'll make it happen. So that's the vibe for 2024. More fun, chaotic, ridiculous episodes. So anything and everything, just comment and let me know. Okay, so now to get into what I want to talk about for this episode. So this year, I feel like a big thing that I did for myself was to finally get my shit together. Okay, so do I have my shit together? Honestly, no. But did I try my best this year? Yes. So I feel like one big thing I did for myself in 2023 was definitely get a better hold of my mental and physical health. And by that, I mean finally seeking like the right kind of help. And I've been quite open about my journey with PCOS and my struggles with it and just figuring out like what worked for me. And honestly, I've been very open about how I have not figured out what worked for me. And I mean that in terms of like just medication, you know, getting a hold of like even foods and my diet and like what possibly helps me or is making my condition worse. And what kind of PCOS I even have, which is insulin resistance. And all the very horrible like doctor experiences that I've had that have just made my condition and my mental health worse in this process of dealing with my PCOS. And just for years, not knowing exactly what was wrong with me and how I could actually solve this problem or manage it better. So it's been a very, very like mentally exhausting and frustrating journey, as I'm sure a lot of people out there with PCOS can relate to, unfortunately. But yeah, that has been quite a struggle. So this year was the year that I have shared quite publicly online that, you know, I finally started going for Pilates. You know, I finally found a form of exercise that I enjoy, that works well for my body. And what triggered me to also start was I've had so many conversations with so many people about my PCOS. And one big conversation I had at the start of this year was actually with a naturopath. So shout out to Maya from Moon, because she put me in touch with Lucy, who's a naturopath, who I spoke to on Zoom. And we just had a really long conversation where she shared with me so many like amazing pieces of advice. And one big thing that I took away from it was that she told me slow weighted workouts are the way to go. And that exact term was something that I saw online as well. So like PCOS nutritionists on TikTok, you know, they were always share things like, you should be doing slow weighted workouts, don't do high intensity stuff, don't do cardio. And I'm like, doesn't make sense to me, I don't understand it, and I don't know where to begin, because I cannot bring myself to whip out a yoga mat and do home workouts. Like, just it's that inertia to do it, and that whole like it's something that I've not unlocked for myself. But I know once I start, I know I can. So yeah, I just needed some form of guidance as to where to begin. My friend Eugenia runs her own Pilates studio, and Eugenia kept asking me to try Pilates. So of course, after having this conversation, I was like, actually Pilates sounds like an appropriate start, you know, a good start. And I know I'll be in the hands of like people who know what they're doing, and I know I'll be comfortable because it's my friend's Pilates studio. So I went into it like a lot of the anxiety surrounding trying out something new went out the window because of all these different factors. So I was really, really fortunate in that sense, because I honestly cannot tell you if I would have actually took it upon myself to Google for a studio, go find something that's convenient and actually sign up by myself. Like, I don't think I would have done that. So shout out to Eugenia, shout out to all the instructors whose classes I've ever been to. You guys are just so good at what you do and have made that such a like safe space for me. So yeah, I'm glad I had the conversation with Lucy, and she recommended Pilates. So I started doing it in around May, and I started doing it regularly, I think June, July. And I have like, I can confidently say that I finally found something that works well for me and something that I actually enjoy. But not gonna lie, of course, when a lot of people ask me about my Pilates experience, most people who speak to me about it are usually people who fit the same demographic as me. So they're usually like brown females, some of them plus size, you know, some of them within my age group, and they're always like, actually, what is it really like? You know, is it like, how are classes like? Oh, I don't dare to do Pilates because like people like us don't really do things like that. And then I'm just there to just reassure them with my own experience, lah, which has been very pleasant. So when I started Pilates, I mean, I'm not going to like sugarcoat it, lah. There's really rarely people that look like me in a Pilates class still. But here and there, like, I see more people, like, because of me also posting about my experience and talking about it, I see more people who look like me and fall in the same like demographic as me, who are actually now they're convinced and they just feel like comfortable enough to want to start or want to try this for themselves. So it's been quite nice being able to share my journey and seeing how it has also like benefited people around me and the people who follow my content, and even my own personal friends, you know, like shout out Kai Ying, who's behind the camera, who also comes with me for Pilates. And yeah, it's been really, even Shark has joined Pilates, which is just so like insane to me that we are going for Pilates together, and it has been such a pleasant, wholesome experience. So I would highly recommend it. I've shared about it quite extensively on my Instagram, so I have a highlight reel, so definitely go check it out. It's just called Pilates, obviously. So go check it out, and if you guys have questions, like, feel free to ask me, because I'm happy to like talk about it more extensively. But that has been something that I did for myself this year. And through Pilates, I actually met someone else in class who I became friends with, and she shared with me her PCOS experience. So she shared with me that when she was really young, she was also prescribed birth control pills, which is something that is like an off-the-shelf medication that doctors prescribe, obviously not with the intention to use as birth control, but to teach your body how to regulate your menstrual cycle so you have a regular period or a semblance of a regular period. So what you do is that you take the birth control pill for 21 days, the same time every day, and you don't take it for 7 days. So, you know, so that is your 28-day cycle. In those 7 days where you don't take the birth control pills, you are supposed to have your period. So that is you like manually telling your body that, hey, this is your time to bleed, you know. So that's how it's supposed to work. So every time I tell people that you use the pill to regulate your cycle, it's like, it's a whole technical thing. And like, of course, it is a pills come in so many different forms. Like, there are so many different brands that are the mix of two different hormones in certain birth control pills, and sometimes it's just one of the hormones. So there's so much that goes behind birth control pills, and you really need to do your research before taking it, because it also comes with a lot of side effects. Some people have amazing pleasant experiences with it, and most people I know have really horrible experiences with it. So I was on the pill on and off many years ago when a doctor at a polyclinic prescribed it to me, and I even went to like I went to the hospital, I went to see a gynecologist, I went to do all these things because it didn't make sense that my period was as irregular as it used to be. So after doing all these things since I was a kid, like since I was in poly, like my late teenage years, it was just so exhausting. And the one thing in common was that every single doctor mentioned birth control pills as a solution, and no other solution other than me losing weight. And they also asked if I was really stressed and told me to stop being stressed. So those were the three things that just kept happening everywhere I went, no matter who I went to, no matter what kind of clinic or hospital I was at. And it was just really exhausting hearing these things, because you just feel like, it's a me problem, I just need to fix this, it's a me thing. Medication also cannot help me, and I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing everything wrong. So that sends you to a spiral. So one of the big side effects when you take the birth control pill is that for certain brands, the symptoms include weight gain, which to me was just so ironic, because I'm getting told to lose weight or try harder to lose weight, but then I'm put on a pill that makes it 10 times harder to lose weight. And 10 times is like, it could be more. It's possibly more than 10 times. But it was just so exhausting to feel like everything I'm doing is not working, and no matter what I do, nothing will work, because the pill I'm taking is working against me, even though it's supposed to help one aspect of my life. So it was just difficult to figure that out on my own. And it also matters what brand of pill you take, because some brands work really well. And if you swap a brand one day, like 1 month you run out of that brand and you want to try something else, you could have like drastic, super dramatic changes in your body, and it could just be because of the brand switch. So many years ago, I was on the pill, took it for a few months, and then my body suddenly knew what to do on its own. And I was like, okay, great, I can get off this pill. And then same thing happened. A few months later, very irregular cycle. And then I went back on the pill. So I was always on and off it. And I always had this in the back of my mind, I was always very stressed out of I don't know if I should be on this. I don't know if enough research has been done. I don't know if I have spoken to enough people to confidently just take this for long term. So I had a lot of anxiety surrounding being on birth control pills. Eventually, I got off it, and I was quite comfortable with, maybe I just have such an irregular period that maybe I don't get it for a month, but suddenly it'll be here. So I was happy with just taking that risk and just seeing whenever my period wanted to show up, let it show up. Then fast forward to this year, I was so physically, mentally, every kind of exhausted you could think of because of how bad my period was. I started this year with a 70-day period, and I literally mean 70 consecutive days. My flow was so heavy that I would prefer to just stay home, because if I went out, that just meant the risk of potentially staining something I sat on. I have bled out in public so many times, and I have stained almost everything I wore. And it just gets to a point where it's just so tight. It's exhausting to just exist. And you know something is really wrong with your body, but you still don't know what it is. And you still don't know, what could I be possibly doing that's so wrong here that nobody has figured out? So that's when I spoke to Lucy. We had that conversation, and she told me the one big thing that I really needed to go do ASAP was to get an ultrasound done. Because if I'm bleeding that long consecutively, something might be very wrong in my system. It could be a fibroid, it could be something that might need to get removed, it could just be really dangerous. So that's when I was a bit damn, okay, I can sign up for Pilates, sure, that's a lifestyle thing that I really want to start doing and incorporate in my life, but I really need to get this ultrasound. So the problem with this entire my entire journey and why I feel like it took so long was that personally, of course, there was a lot of anxiety going into seeing a doctor and making all these appointments. It wasn't easy. But another big thing was financially, I knew it was going to take a toll on me, and I wasn't ready to just like, you know, fork out a huge lump sum of money and be like, you know what, let's just go to a specialist, just go somewhere else, let's go to a private hospital, let's do these things where I don't have to worry about waiting time, I don't have to worry about doctors just possibly being dismissive, and I could just basically get my money's worth lah, you know. And I couldn't comfortably afford that. So I always took the polyclinic route, which is, as a Singaporean, is obviously the most cheapest, most accessible way to go see a doctor. And for me, that made the most sense. So even to get an ultrasound, I did not even consider like, hey, you know what, let me just go to a gynecologist, let me just book an ultrasound appointment and get my results ASAP. I still went the polyclinic route, which is my a mistake lah, and something I definitely regret to an extent. But I don't know, it was part of my journey, and maybe I needed to do it to get to where I am now also. But I did it, and through the polyclinic, I had to wait like over a month or 2 months for an appointment at another polyclinic that wasn't even near me. Went somewhere else just to get an ultrasound appointment. You don't get your results on the day off. I don't know if it's normal for you to, but it's just an ultrasound appointment. So I had to then book another appointment with my polyclinic near my house to do an ultrasound review. So it was like three separate appointments just to get an ultrasound and then get it reviewed and see my results. So I have very shit luck. So I was blessed with a male doctor, and I went in. I mean, no hate lah, because I'm sure there are really amazing male gynecologists out there, but I'm talking about a polyclinic doctor, not a gynecologist. And I went in, it was so infuriating. My first appointment, when I talked about all my issues, and obviously I got prescribed birth control pills. And I even asked, because the brand that I was put on was a brand I've never tried before. So I explicitly asked, like, are there any specific side effects for this brand, or what's the most common side effect for this brand? And this man looked me dead in the eye and said, the usual. And I'm like, you cannot tell me the usual when you literally don't have a uterus. Like, how come you can tell me the usual? Like, you can only tell me that if this is something you have experienced. And I mean, it was safe to say this is something this man had not experienced before lah. So it was just very like, wow. Come on, man. And what like made this entire experience a million times worse was, after getting on that pill, I was in probably the worst mental state that I have been, easily in my top five worst ever mental states in my whole life. And it was so bad that the spirals that I had, and that is a side effect of birth control pills. So it messes with your mental health, the mood swing, the PMS, the everything surrounding your emotions. It's just so like, you just are completely unhinged. And like I said, this is not representative of everybody's experience, but it is of mine. And I was going through hell. It was really bad. So the month of June was very, very, very tough. I was on the pill 2023, June and July. It was so bad. And I remember having like really, really bad outbursts. And I was talking to Kai Ying actually, and Kai Ying is the one who reminded me that I was on the pill. So it was so normal to just like I had so many bad days in a row that it just felt so normal, and it felt like nothing was out of like the blue. And one day as we were talking, she was like, wait, didn't you start taking the pill this month? And that was like all the clarity I needed. That was literally all I needed to hear, because I mean, Chang is one of my closest female friends. So like obviously as a fellow like woman, she obviously remembered the side effects of the pill and what being on the pill meant and how that could affect people. So that's something I totally needed to hear, that I completely forgot. And I was like, damn, thank you for saying this, because I just attributed this to me and all the faults within myself. And this is a me problem. It's not anybody else problem. And I'm doing this to myself. Something is wrong with me. But now that I remember that I'm on the pill, I know that the pill is really causing me to be some level of like imbalanced and some level of just unhinged. And I cannot get my shit together, because this is fully affecting me. And I went into the month of July with the information of, okay, you are on the pill. Whatever you are feeling is probably just going to be heightened to some ridiculous extent. And you need to, like, I was just reassuring myself and talking to myself and like, you're fine, you're okay. Like, don't let this just completely send you on like a tangent and a spiral. You know, just chill out. Like, I had to like actively remind myself that. So after July, I was like, I really want to get off this pill. I know how it's affecting me. This is really bad. And when I say it's really bad, like trigger warning, my mental state was so bad that like the outburst included talking about things like suicide. And it was really, really, really like, it was a very difficult 2 months. So yeah, eventually I got off the pill. And usually when you get a prescription, it's like a 3-month prescription. So I did not take the last month. I'm like, nope, I'm not putting this pill in my body again. I cannot knowingly do this to myself anymore. Got off the pill, met that friend from Pilates who shared with me her journey about having PCOS and also getting prescribed the pill since she was young, and told me how she got off it because of very horrible side effects also. And then told me that she started seeing a specialist a while ago, and it's been going really well for her. So she shared her whole experience with me. I'm so, so, so grateful that she was just so open. And that was like my, probably like my second time hanging out with her properly. And we just hit it off so well because of our mutual friend. And it was just all I needed in my life at that point. So I took her recommendation, her doctor's recommendation and her advice. I booked an appointment with the specialist. So the specialist is actually an endocrinologist. So endocrine health is something that, like, go read up about it if you've never heard this word before. But it is, like, I learned so much just Googling it. So I went to the specialist, and when I was in the waiting room, I realized that her patients included a lot of men and a lot of, like, older men as well. So women of all ages and, like, middle-aged men. And then I Googled one day, I was like, what does an endocrinologist do? Because I'm like, I know I'm here and I know she's going to help me. And I know whatever I'm dealing with, like, she's equipped with the skills to help me. But I'm like, why are men here? Because in my mind, I'm like, is this a female-centric thing? Like, I just didn't know, right? I was clueless. So I Googled it, which is what most people online should do, you know, instead of telling people that they're dumb. So yeah, I Googled it, and I realized that endocrine health obviously includes a lot of things related to, like, your hormones. It's a very specific practice. So when I went there and I realized that I know my hormones are just fully out of, like crazy. And there was also a lot of, like, endocrine health also includes things like your glucose levels, your sugar levels, and these things. So I was like, okay, very interesting. I learned a lot of what, like, my doctor even does there. So when I went in for my appointment, this was literally the first doctor in my life that made me feel so safe, so reassured, because she was just so kind to me. And I cannot even express how, if you've had shit experiences with doctors, you will completely know exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't mean horrible experiences like a doctor that was just completely, like, don't know how to do their job, like, terrible. I just mean, like, general experiences of, like, no one actually hearing you out enough. Everyone, some level of blaming you for your health and gaslighting you, essentially, and making you feel like you're making you feel damn shit about yourself. So it's very rare to leave a doctor's appointment with not ideal news and feel good about yourself or feel like there is hope. But this doctor made me feel like there was so much hope. So if you guys out there have any, like, similar experiences to what I talk about and everything that I've been dealing with for the last few years and my PCOS journey and everything like that, please, like, hit me up or DM me, because I'm very happy to, like, share with you guys more details of my experience and see if, like, my doctor is someone that I can recommend to you to go to if you're looking for someone especially. But yeah, so it was just so a crazy eye-opening experience, because I went there and I'm like, damn, this is how I should feel after an appointment. I should feel like there is hope, and I should feel like there is somebody that can actually help me out there, and I shouldn't feel helpless. So what she did, the first thing she did was to ask me for, like, my lab reports from a few years back. And I went to so many gynecologists, I went to so many doctors that I had so many lab reports. So I gave her the last, like, full panel, like, blood test report that I did at that point was in 2021. So I went to see her this year, right? So basically these reports were from 2 years ago. So I gave her all these details, sent it to her so she could look at everything when she met me for my first ever consult. And Are you ready for the kicker? She looked at me and she's like, oh, did you know that you were pre-diabetic 2 years ago? And then I'm there like, I'm sorry, what? I did not know, because nobody told me. And that like messed me up. I was so upset because of the amount of energy, time, effort and money that I spent, and all the polyclinic visits, all the referrals I got, actually going to a hospital gynecologist full on because I was so tired of, like, getting no proper help, and seeing a gynecologist repeatedly, running all these tests, and then getting told 2 years later that, like, I was already pre-diabetic then and nobody told me. And then you see, like, freaking HPB government campaigns, ads everywhere saying, like, oh, go check if you're pre-diabetic. I'm sorry, but apparently I did and nobody told me. So that was, like, really infuriating to hear that. And I know it's something that was already in my genes. Like, both my parents have it. So I know this was something that, like, was a concern in my life and something that I was some level of predisposed to, lah. But it was just, I saw the doctor so often that you would think this was information I would have already had. So that was really upsetting. And she ran all the same tests again. So she's like, okay, so it's been 2 years since these results. Unfortunately, you might already be in the diabetic range because it has been 2 years. So she was obviously very, very like practical and real about it. And she didn't sugarcoat anything. Get it? Sugarcoat because diabetic. But but you know what I mean? Like she was really real about it. But she did it in such a kind way that I'm like, wow, I appreciate you being so straightforward without like this making me feel shit about myself at all. So there's a really like, that's a very like special skill to have, to be like that good at your job, you know, that you're delivering bad news or like less than ideal news, but you're still doing it so well that someone doesn't feel like there is no hope. Yeah, so anyways, we ran all the same tests. This included like a fasting glucose test. So you know, you show up early at the clinic, you get your blood tested before eating anything, fasting the night before, and then they give you this really concentrated sugar drink that you have to drink in like a couple of minutes, and then it's the most painful like drink you could ever drink because it's just so sweet that you're in pain because of how sweet it is. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just a lot of sugar. And that's the point, last, for them to test how quickly your sugar levels rise and whether your body's able to regulate it and stuff like that. So it's really interesting, like, learning these things. And then you have to wait. You cannot consume anything else. You just have to wait in the waiting room. And then, like, an hour later, you have to test your blood again to get the results. So I ran those tests, and I also... What else did she test me for? Yeah, it was mainly, like, my blood glucose levels. So when we went in for the review, she was like, okay, unfortunately, you are in the diabetic range. So that's how I found out I am now diabetic. But she went in with a lot of positivity, and she told me that we are still catching this and detecting this very early, that we can try our best to manage all the symptoms and see if we can kind of push you back to the pre-diabetic range, you know, and kind of like manage all your symptoms as well as we possibly can, lah. So that's when she kind of told me like all the different medication, all the different like things that I could have done, I could do for myself from here on out. So that was when she also ran a bunch of other tests, and she found out that I was really low in my vitamin D. I wonder why. Shark? Anyway. And then she also told me that my sugar levels, everything, she ran through all that with me, and then she prescribed me with Ozempic. So here's where it gets interesting, because Ozempic is a medication that I've heard of online, and I've heard that a lot of Hollywood celebrities abuse Ozempic to lose weight. Ozempic is a diabetic medication, but a lot of people use it and abuse it to lose weight. So it got a bit like interesting to learn more about the medication and what it's actually used for. So now that I am diagnosed with diabetes, obviously this is a form of medication that I can take, and my doctor is ready to prescribe it to me. But even without diabetes, and if I just went in for my PCOS, certain doctors are actually really confident to prescribe Ozempic to patients with PCOS just to help them with like their PCOS symptoms and weight loss also, because weight loss helps a lot of PCOS, especially if you have insulin resistance and you're like me, you know, you are dealing with like not the struggle of not being able to lose weight no matter what you do, because all the symptoms of what you have are just working against you, and you need some level of medical help to shed the weight off already because you are doing your best. So that was the state that I was in. So getting prescribed with diabetes was definitely not my bingo card of 2023. So that was just like, oh damn, that's a shocker, you know. But was I really that shocked? Not really. I was just a bit shocked because I should have known, you know. Somebody else should have told me by now. But anyways, so she put me on Ozempic in late August. So that's when I started the medication, and she told me a lot about it. So it kind of works a bit like an appetite suppressant. So you will generally, like when you start getting on the medication, you know, the meals, your appetite is just way smaller, you just get full faster. And it also works to, like, you inject yourself once a week, and it helps you regulate like your sugar levels for that week. So you need to listen to your body really well when you're on this medication, because a lot of the side effects, the big side effect is, for me especially, was nausea. So it makes you very pukey, and when I first started taking it, I remember being out just having a meal with Shark and another of our friends, and I sat there at dinner, and it's like one of my favorite cuisines, we were eating Thai food, and I was just sitting there like, I need to leave this place right now because my head is spinning, something is wrong with me, I'm just so lightheaded and I cannot eat. Like, I cannot eat anymore. And we were barely halfway through the meal. And I'm like, what's wrong? And I was just consuming, like, a normal amount. And because I wasn't home, I didn't serve myself the portions, right? So it was just, like, the normal portion size at a restaurant. And that was, like, way too much for me. So obviously, since being on Ozempic, my eating habits have changed. And I've been more conscious about just what I put in my body and making sure I hydrate more, because I'm very, very, very dehydrated. I'm a thirsty hoe, okay? And then things like the vitamin D, getting told that I was, like, very close to being deficient in that, actively making sure that, like, okay, you know what, I need to be out in the sun more. And I didn't even realize that I subconsciously avoided outdoor stuff wherever I could. And yeah, my eating habits and stuff, I still eat sugar. It is not something that I have to completely cut off. It is not something where I have to drastically be like, I cannot consume. Like, I need to count my calories. I need to count how much sugar I take in a week. Like, I don't do things like that because I don't think that it's a healthy way to live. And I need to be realistic because at some point I'm going to get off medication and I need to be able to maintain whatever I'm doing. So when I'm off Ozempic, I can still maintain this diet and whatever I'm doing now. I think I've approached this diagnosis and my changes in my life really, really well. So I'm quite proud of myself there. And another thing that I did was to significantly cut down the amount of rice I ate. I very fortunately come from a brown family where my mom cooks a lot of brown people food, aka Indian food, which comprises of a lot of rice. And rice was always the main staple with a lot of like side dishes. And I was always like, oh, but I can't really eat a curry thing without rice. You know, like, it's weird. I don't want to not eat rice. I can't completely cut out rice. But then once I saw the doctor and I needed to make all these changes, I immediately, like, one big thing that I did was replace rice with chapati or even like frozen prata. And that was something so readily, easily, like, available everywhere. So it was so easy to just, I ate so much chapati in like the first month. And then I was like, actually, I can eat rice. I just need to eat lesser rice. So my portion of rice would be like half of what I used to eat, but I still would eat the protein and everything else. Oh, and speaking of protein, that was something that I needed to, like, increase my intake on, because, my doctor was just like, once you're on Ozempic, the issue or, like, a trap that might happen would be that I seem like I'm losing weight, but in reality, I might be losing muscle mass. So she was very, like, clear about how you need to make sure you exercise consistently, you need to keep it regular in your life, you need to also make sure that your protein intake doesn't, like, that is still maintained, and whether you're cutting down things from your diet, you still need to make sure you're eating well, because losing muscle mass is obviously not ideal. So yeah, eventually I went in for like a 1 month review, and then I went in for a 2 month review and 6 week review. So I went in for a couple of reviews and I have been doing so well. So I'm really, really proud of myself, because when I first went in for my review, I did lose muscle mass. So that's when my doctor told me, okay, you really need to up your protein, whatever exercise you're doing. And when I told her I was doing Pilates, she was like, that is great. Like, that's one of the greatest things you can do for yourself. Stick to it. And everybody has been so like, Pilates is great. Do it. Like, that's great. That's great for your condition. That's great for your lifestyle. You need to maintain that. So she told me that I lost a bit of muscle mass. So what I did after hearing that was to make sure that I increased my Pilates classes. So I typically go once a week, but since she told me that I lost muscle mass, I went twice a week. So then when I went in for my next review, she was like, damn girl, what are you doing? Because you gained so much muscle mass that you have more muscle than before even we started this. And I'm like, hey, what the heck? That's crazy. So I was doing really, really well in the 6 week mark when I went in, and she was like, you not only have lost fat, you have also increased your muscle mass, which is really ideal scenario. So that's when she was confident enough to be like, hey, you know, let's stick to what you're doing. Medication-wise, I'm not going to increase your dose. Let's just stick to the dosage that I'm prescribing you weekly. And also, exercise-wise, try and stick to this, because twice a week it's really doing your body favors, lah. So I just went in for my 4 month review at the start of December, and I lost a little bit of muscle mass, and I realized that was because it was difficult for me to book Pilates classes. So now what I need to do in my life is that if I cannot get a twice a week situation where I go for classes, I am going to make sure I do a home workout or do something, because I cannot rely on like a class availability, and that is such a gamble. And it is something that tried and tested works for me, and I know exercising twice a week is the perfect, like, it's a very comfortable frequency for me and my body and my mental health and everything. So if I cannot get a slot at a class, I'm just going to like figure out a YouTube home workout, and I'm gonna start doing those things. But yeah, I went in for the review, and since I first started my medication, I have lost 9 kg, which is insane to me, because just I have never lost weight in my life. And I don't know how to explain how I grew up so like normal average weight, and when I was young I was even like some level of underweight, and then I was always average, normal, everything, like all the health checkups and everything you do in school, everything was like average, 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 which is exactly where I want to be. You know, I want to be average as fuck, honestly. But anyways, can't help it that I'm just extraordinary. So I'm really, really grateful for the recommendation that I got. Really grateful that I had it in myself to also just take that leap and just go, and had the support of everyone around me. And Shark has been there at every single doctor's appointment with me. I am so grateful. Like literally every time my doctor's like, oh, okay, it looks like you've lost weight. And then Shark is literally there beside me like, wow! And then he's high-fiving me. It's like, and then when the doctor's telling me like, you're doing really well. And then he's like, yeah, you're doing well. Like he's literally doing that in the doctor's appointment. And then the doctor's just chuckling. Yeah, like, it's the cutest thing. So very, very, very grateful. Obviously, I have like a lot of support from my friends, family. And yeah, I think this journey has just been, it's a journey that I'm still on, nowhere close to this journey ending, but I am going into it with so much positivity, and I'm very proud of myself. And I was, of course, very hard on myself, like on, like after Deepavali especially, I didn't really like cut down in terms of like snacking and enjoying like all the, obviously the amazing food that my mom prepared and all the stuff that we baked for Deepavali, all the cookies and everything. And I'm like, and I felt so bad, like as I was helping my mom bake and I was trying cookies and eating all these sweets, and I was like, I think I'm regressing, I don't think I'm doing well. Like that kept replaying in my mind, and I'm very negative. So that I was just so, so hard on myself. And leading up to my appointment in December, I literally was telling everyone around me, like, I don't think I'm doing well. I think I gained weight. I think like I'm struggling. And then like Shark also was reminding me, it's not about the weight. It's not about the weight loss or anything. At the end of the day, are you losing fat and are you gaining muscle? Are you like maintaining? Are you doing what you can? And it's okay. You just started this journey. Everybody at some point struggles with anything. You just start like that, a huge life change like that, so it is normal and it is fine and it will be okay, and you have the right guidance, you are seeing someone that is really here to help you and has proven to help you. So yes, this journey has been very interesting. But yeah, the next D of the double D that I want to, why I gotta hold my boob, but anyways, the next D that I want to talk about is actually my depression. So this is another really long story, but let me just give you the main parts that you need to know and the main things that I really want to share with you guys about my experience. So naturally, when I talked about all this medical stuff and dealing with my health issues like for the longest time, that has just been one big thing in my life that has been taking a huge toll on my mental health just for years. So that's just something that has been, I've been dealing with on the back of my mind all the time, think about it every other day and struggle with it, and has naturally added to some level of unhealthy mental state lah. So for a very long time, I've considered going for therapy. This has been a conversation that has come up with a lot of my friends, with Shark, with just so many people that I work with and I talk about these big things about, and I do so much content, talk about mental health, talk about like, you know, thinking of yourself, mental health month, like, you know, talking about so many of these things that I'm around these conversations a lot. And I know, I knew I was always someone that would benefit from therapy, but there was a lot of, similarly to seeing a specialist for my physical health, there was a lot of inertia to just do something about it and to actually do my research and sign up for an appointment. And I always just said like, where do I begin? I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. But it was really as straightforward as asking a friend for a recommendation and or just Googling it and learning about like my options. So I had extensive conversations with so many people, and eventually one day I had dinner at a friend's house. Shark and I went over for dinner with some friends, and we talked all night about so many things. And my friends are like, they are amazing people who just had like, you know, they our friends who just have your best interests at heart. So they were just so like kind. And after we hung out all night, a few days later, like one of my friends texted and they were like, actually, would you want a recommendation? You know, I have a lot of like therapy clinics. You know, I have a lot of people that I can recommend to you that I think you could really benefit from speaking to. And, you know, like, don't worry, all the concerns that you've shared with us, you know, I think these people will be good for you and stuff like that. So one big concern that I had when it came to actually going for therapy was, it's such a stupid first world problem, but I mean, not to belittle my actual concern lah, I didn't know if confidentiality would really be respected. So I had so much anxiety going into it because I was like, what if this person knows me like from the internet? What if this person hates me, loves me? What if they just went in with a really strong opinion and they were not like a like an objective person that I could speak to, which I think is really necessary when you are going in and pouring your heart and soul out to a therapist. So that was a big concern that I had, which I know like the average person, the average Singaporean does not need to consider lah. So it felt very unrelatable and I felt really like silly to even talk about it and to be like, oh, it's damn lame. What if this person recognized me? Then like, I don't dare to go. Then what a stupid first world problem. Then I just talked myself out of it. so it just wasn't really healthy. But I'm very grateful my friend went in, came in with the recommendation. And the next big reason why I did not even consider it and I was like, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm doing therapy, was because of how insanely expensive it is. So there are a lot of affordable options out there, for sure. But my friend recommended me someone who was like a senior psychologist in a clinic. So the price point of it was, if I can be super frank about it, it's really not cheap. Like, there have been months where I've already had to like cancel appointments because I cannot afford to spend this money this month. So it's not cheap. And in my mind, I was like, why am I not looking at more affordable options? But I decided to just take the leap and book that first appointment. And I went back and forth with my friend a lot of times to say like, this is really expensive, this is not really practical, because I don't want it to come to a point where I have to keep cancelling my appointments, you know. And I want it to be comfortable where I'm assured like, okay, I can afford this and I can go at least once a month, and I can go if I need it more than once a month, then I can afford it. You know, I wanted to be comfortable doing something like this. And I'm always some level of perpetually worried about finances. So to me, it was always something that was never really very affordable, but I did finally like cave and I was very convinced and I knew that I really could benefit from this. And to be super frank, like the trigger point that made me just be like, you know what, I have to book an appointment, was actually the fact that I saw the toll my mental health was taking on the people around me. And I started to see how, like, I mean, earlier on I mentioned in June, July, my mental health was in a really bad state, because that's when I also swapped birth control pills and I was just in a really, really very perpetually like imbalanced state. It was just really bad. And that was around the same period I went for my first therapy session. So yeah, I was really convinced to like, you know what, I need to book an appointment, because I started to finally see the toll it was taking on like someone who was my main support system, which is Shark. And I saw how this person has constantly showed up and been there for me and like is trying his absolute best to support me. But I started to see how difficult it was to support me. And he never made me feel like it's difficult or I was like too much. But when you are a self-aware person, you think about these things, lah, right? So naturally, I was like, I felt so bad. And then I started to feel guilty for going through the things I was going through and even expressing how I feel. And I said, that's also very unhealthy. I never want to come to a point where I have to, like, mince my words and I cannot say, like, what I truly am feeling to my partner, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I don't think it would be healthy if, like, I think the solution is to just, oh, maybe I shouldn't confide in Shark because I don't want him to be affected by my problems. So yeah, I didn't think that was the right way to go. So yes, I'm very grateful that I spoke to my friends, got their recommendation, finally booked my first appointment. And after my first appointment, I got very, very lucky because I knew my therapist was the right fit from the first session. And I know some people need to like try different options. They need to try multiple like different like a therapist to see, you know, who they click with the best, who they vibe with the best, who they feel the most comfortable and open with, and who is the most right for them, lah, right? So I can't really speak on that experience because I didn't try with anyone else, and I went to see my therapist, and the first session I felt a huge weight just lifted off my shoulders, and I just felt so comfortable speaking to her. I felt so like, it felt so right. And when you know, lah, it's one of those things. So for me, when I left the session, I was like, damn, what have I been missing my whole life? And I felt so relieved. I felt so comfortable. I was actually looking forward to my next session. And that's when I knew that, okay, this seems like the right fit. When it came to keeping the sessions consistent, my biggest struggle was the finances. So yeah, I asked her and she said, it would be nice to, because I'm a new client, this is a new relationship that we have. So she said, maybe at the start, I can try and stack a couple of appointments. At the start, maybe I can see her a bit more frequently. But the goal is to, of course, see her you know, not as, it does not have to be multiple times a month. You know, it can even be something that's just once a month. It could also be something that is as and when I deem necessary. It does not have to be like, we don't have to set a frequency in advance. So I'm like, okay, I do like that. That's pretty open. But at the start, I was prepared to like, okay, fine. If I need to like stack my sessions, if we can like build this relationship and give you all the context I need to give you about my life, tell you everything you need to know for this, like, for this to work for me well and effectively, then yeah, of course I'll take her advice and I'll try my best to come in for sessions as and when I can and up the frequency at the start lah. So I did that and it was really, really beneficial. I learned a lot of different like concepts and just like very technical, theoretical, like therapy stuff that I needed to know to understand things like my inner child and understand what I needed in certain situations. And I learned a lot about myself going for therapy, which has been very nice, very eye-opening. And like, my favorite person in the world is actually me. So like, ugh, I got to know myself better. Great. As it's really not, I'm joking. But yes, learning about yourself through just being completely vulnerable is just a very eye-opening and pleasant experience. And it just felt, feeling heard and reassured and understood is also all very nice feelings that I think in general people just lack, and it's what I needed lah. And I know I'm someone who needs a lot of reassurance, so sometimes you know exactly what you need to hear and you know exactly what you need to do, but it's very different when it comes from someone else and someone being like an external force, an external party, and someone who's not like personally invested in your life or directly involved in this situation or outcome of this situation. Hearing them say certain things that you already know, it's like sometimes you're too close to the situation, right? And then you can only give your friend so much advice because they will not take it when they hear it from you. But then some rando will tell them and then they'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't see it that way. You know, it's that same logic. And I started to notice that and I was like, damn, hearing this from someone else was really important and I needed to. And I also needed to feel like I wasn't just going insane, because in a lot of circumstances and situations in my life, I just felt so alone and so misunderstood and just so like, ugh, it's a me problem lor, which is what I did for the medical aspect of my life as well. It's a me problem. It can't possibly be this. It's me. It's always me. And that self-hate and that blaming was just something that I trying my best to not do as much anymore. And naturally, like when you start, I don't know if this is like a normal process because I don't know a lot of people, like I don't know about a lot of people's therapy journey and how it started for them, but I was given like a bunch of questionnaires to do at the start. So like, there were a whole bunch of things. You know, one was just specifically about any like adverse childhood like experiences or trauma, anything that I answer a questionnaire based off my life for the first 18 years of my life. And if any of these things happened, you know, just to indicate it in a questionnaire. Another one was like to determine like my stress, anxiety levels and depression levels and everything. So one big thing that came up in the earlier sessions when I did all these questionnaires and everything was that everything was a little bit in the red zone. So I think my anxiety levels were moderate, which I was like, okay, damn, that's not bad. And then my stress levels were the next tier of like worse. Forgot what it was. And then my depression levels were like in the severe range. So getting told that was actually a very similar experience to getting told that I have diabetes, because in my mind I'm like, I knew it. You know, it was just one of those like, I knew it. I never wanted to use the word depressed ever in my life because I see how so many people trivialize it. And I was very like conscious about I don't want to use this word unless I know it for a fact. And I don't want to say I'm depressed, even though I think all signs point to it, even though I think this is what I'm experiencing, even though I read stuff online and I'm like, I think I check all these boxes, but I don't want to anyhow self-diagnose lah, you know what I mean? Like, you just don't want to use terms like this that you see people throw around so loosely nowadays, and you see people like, oh my god, they ran out of bubble tea, oh, I'm depressed. You know, like some stupid people are saying damn shit online, and then you're just like, okay, that is not depression, sis. That is an addiction. You have a problem. Maybe you have diabetes. Who knows? You know, so yeah, it's just one of those things lah. And I was always very cautious about not using the term, but after getting told that, I was like, damn, I kind of knew it all along, and it was very reassuring to hear. And it made me feel very I don't know how to phrase this. It made me feel very like secure with myself in my mind, because it just felt very validated. And that's a very important feeling that I know I don't necessarily feel a lot in my own life. And it's a good feeling and it's a nice feeling. And like I said, like, reassurance, validation, feeling heard and understood is really something that I know I can really benefit from in my life. So that was really helpful. So yeah, I've been to a couple of sessions now. I have been trying to go regularly, but like I said, it's not something that I can afford very comfortably. So I've unfortunately already had to like cancel sessions because it's just something I could not afford in the month of November. But November was like a big month and I could have really benefited from going to a session. So I just went for one like earlier this week and it was really, really helpful. There's so many like concepts and things that you experience and you feel in your everyday life, but you just don't know the words and you don't know how to like put it in a sentence, you know. And I think for me, my therapy sessions have really helped me to like verbalize a lot of these things and just know that it's a very like real experience and to manage like a lot of like my emotions and a lot of these things that I go through like better, and just myself and my mental health better. So when I took another questionnaire that my therapist gave me, it was these two things came up in the results lah. And one thing was that it came up that I'm a very, very like negative and pessimistic person, which I already knew, but same thing, hearing it was just like, damn, it's that bad, huh? Another thing that came up really high was my self-sacrifice. So self-sacrifice is literally exactly what that term is lah. It just means that I believe that other people's needs are more important and I will always put mine down lah, and I'll always put mine on a way like a low level on this priority scale because everyone else is more important in this situation. And that also means you self-sacrifice. So that means you in your actions, in your everyday life, you will do whatever it takes to make sure the needs of someone else is met before your own. And when you keep doing that to yourself, your needs will never get met and you will ultimately in the long run suffer from it lah. And it's not healthy to live that way. So that's something I'm trying to manage a lot better. And when maybe some incidents come up, or like there's a big, like an incident or an argument or something negative in my life that comes up like that, I start to like, when I think about it and break it down, I'm like, damn, I only reacted in that way in that situation because I'm subconsciously putting someone else's needs first. And I don't even realize that. And it's just so like, when you break it down and think about it, you're like, damn, I really display the self-sacrifice, the negativity in every single aspect of my life. And I started to notice it a bit more. So like, even sometimes on a day out, like when I started to do things like, for example, there's a line of just being helpful and being like doing a favor for someone else. And crossing that line means you're doing this at the expense of yourself and at the expense of your own time, your energy, your vitality, you know, everything. So now I'm like, I'm able to determine that better. And I know when it's I'm able to do this favor for someone. I'm able to run this errand for someone. And it doesn't take too much of my day, my time. And it's something that I can afford to do. And I mean afford, not in a financial sense, but I mean in every other sense, you know, time, energy and everything. So now I'm able to do that better. And I really used to be very like, yeah, okay, take my needs, flush down the toilet bowl, don't care, nobody needs to care about my needs, you know. I used to be like that. So I feel like now I'm prioritizing myself and my needs better, and that also means saying no to a lot of things, prioritizing things like alone time, me time, just being with yourself, prioritizing things that make me happy. And that has been very helpful to put into words. Like, I've never actually used the term self-sacrifice, or I would never say that's something that I did, because that felt like, no lah, I would never think of calling it that. I would just think it's just being helpful and just being thoughtful of someone else. But I was doing it way too much at my expense lah. So yeah, learning these things and knowing this about myself and knowing these things and knowing what are some counter things that I can do in those moments, what are the emotions that I feel, you know, what are some things that can help these things. And that has been really helpful lah. And I truly enjoy my therapy sessions. I look forward to them. And I'm just like at a point where I want to like work even harder so I can comfortably afford it when I need to. And of course, if it comes to a point where I really can't afford it, then I would need to like do something about it, or possibly consider, you know, finding a cheaper alternative, which I highly recommend, because I know there are a lot of alternatives out there, especially like I think certain schools also offer like student counseling, student like therapy in many different forms, or like within the school compound itself, you can actually sign up for therapy. And I know that there are counselors out there who go at way more affordable rates. So don't like hear this and just hear that therapy is expensive, because I'm once again talking about my experience. And I got really fortunate that I met someone that I think is extremely, has been quite life-changing for me just in the last few months. And someone who I think is damn good at their job. So I am, yeah, so I'm very like, I really want to try my best to stick to it and stick to this same therapist, because I really enjoy my sessions. And I hope you guys out there, if you've been considering therapy, I hope this has inspired you to take that leap, try. Maybe if you know friends who are already going for therapy, you know, speak to them, speak about their, if they're comfortable to share about their experience, ask them about it, ask them about, you know, what are some options out there, or can you maybe speak to someone else within the same clinic, you know, that might be a bit more affordable, which are all options that I think that you guys should go like find out about, go Google, go speak to the people in your life who already go for therapy and learn more about the process. Because I know a lot of people can benefit from it, and I know how much I've benefited from it. And I think that it's just one big thing on my list of I did not expect to do in 2023 that I did, and I'm damn proud of myself for doing. So, wow! So yes, if you're considering, I hope this has convinced you to at least attempt or start the process of doing your research to how you can begin therapy. And I also know that it's a luxury to even be able to afford something like this. I know that sometimes it is really not an option. So I know that there are online therapy options also that might be cheaper, but even if it's not therapy, therapy is speaking to someone one-on-one. I know that there could be possibly just resources online that you can read up on, and books that you can, self-help books that might really help in these moments. And actually one of my like therapy session homework was to read a couple of chapters of this book, and it was just, it helped me like understand these different concepts and all these case studies with like actual people, and how these different like things like self-sacrifice, you know, how it's displayed differently in different people, how it actually looks when you do something like that but you don't actively think about it. You know, it's like one of those things that someone else needs to call you out on this behavior, then you realize that, oh yeah, actually I sacrifice too much, actually yeah, I'm damn negative, which I needed like someone else to say. And then I'm like, you're right. Like, and it's so funny because of the work that I do and how I appear on the internet, I'm just this delusional, psychotic, pretty please character that is just so over the top and Singapore stop everything, that I think that people are just like, I don't know why, but I think I come off as very optimistic, which is so funny because I'm not. I'm like really, really, really not. And so it's also that struggle with like appearing some type of way on the internet and having to like maybe sometimes live up to that role and that character and the expectation that I might have set up for myself that other people expect of me. So it's just been an interesting space to navigate. And yeah, it has been very, very helpful. Very grateful that I did this for myself this year. So that marks the end of our talk about Double D1 and Double D2. So my depression and my diabetes. So yes, I feel like I finally gotten a hold of my life to an extent, of course. And at any point, this hold can be loosened and I can just go unhinged. So I know all the work and the effort and the patience that I need to have, and I need to have with myself, that I need to actively like take these steps that I've been so successfully, consistently taking to maintain it. And it's not something that came easy, and that's what she said, but it's not something that has been easy. It is something that was much needed in my life, truly necessary. Extremely grateful for every single person that has been a part of my journey, for both like the medical, I mean for all the medical aspects, but mental health and physical stuff, all the recommendations I got from friends, the people that linked me up to the amazing people that I work with, the contacts, the everyone in my life that like, if you had a part to play in this, please know that you are crucial to this very life-changing journey. And I'm so grateful for you. And I hope you guys out there listening, I hope this has inspired you to even like ask your friend about their experience if they're dealing with things like this. If you're dealing with something similar, have that conversation. You don't know how much good could come out from it, even just as like a listening ear, as a support system for your friend who might be dealing with something. Or if you're dealing with the same thing, you know, the resources that you can learn and the practices and the things that you can benefit from how they have approached their journey. So yeah, I hope this has inspired you to get a better hold of your mental and physical health as well. And if you already like do these things, you have already been in a comfortable space where you are you have already gotten to this stage of your life where you do have a good hold on it, then I'm very happy for you, because I know how important that is and I know how beneficial that is. So thank you for listening and watching this episode. I hope you guys have a great rest of your year. But before the year ends, kring, kring! Oh no, the phone's ringing and my back hurts. Oh no, I like some auntie trying to pick up phone like that. Hello? It is time for your unsolicited advice of the week. Well, honestly, bitch, if you listen to this whole episode, I feel like this whole episode was unsolicited advice. But okay, I mean, realistically, I would say... Sorry, the line hang out really, that I pick up again. But I would say, really take time and think about what you need to do for yourself. And it's so funny because we're approaching the end of the year and naturally it is the time where people think about New Year's resolutions. But really, fuck that shit. You know, just think about what you need at any point of the year so you can make resolution on. You can wake up one day and be like, oh, I want to do this for myself. Then also can. Don't wait until 1st January and then like, oh, maybe this will be the year that I start exercising. Maybe this will be the year that I see the doctor. You do not need the date to change to do these big things that you need to do. So do it today, do it tomorrow, do it yesterday. Should have done it yesterday, bitch. But anyways, just do it whenever makes sense for you, whenever you can afford something, whenever, and I mean that once again, time, energy, financially, whenever you have the capacity to address something going on in your life, do it. Because you will really, really drastically benefit from it. And when you feel like it's time to take hold of it and do it, that's when you will do it right, I feel. Because you can only like take so much advice from everyone around you, and if everyone's just pestering you to do something and you just force yourself into doing it even though you don't want to, it will not be a nice, pleasant experience. But then again, these things are not easy. It's not supposed to be nice and pleasant all the time. It is going to be some level of difficult and tricky, but you will get through it, because at the end of the day, your intention is to just come in here, do something that is right for you, makes sense for you, and is supposed to benefit you. And prioritize yourself in this process, because it is not easy, especially when it comes to like health, you know, when we're talking about stuff surrounding mental or physical health. So make that move. If you've been considering speaking to someone, try it. Yeah, attempt it. Try different options out there that that work within your financial means as well. And start by talking to a friend, because that is the free means that you should do. Please speak to someone around you. That is like the most important thing if you're struggling with your mental health, especially. Reach out and know that like you are not alone, and people really, really care about you and like want to hear what you have to say. Just make that step and reach out. And like physical health wise, don't wait for 1st of Jan. Do it whenever. It can be the 2nd of Jan or so can, you know? But yeah, just do it whenever makes sense for you, and speak to the people around you. Read like threads online about people who go through the same like medical condition, because there's so much advice on the internet, and reading up about like the medication that you might be prescribed and doing your research before getting into these things. Don't just follow what celebrities do blindly. When have they ever done the right thing? Oh my gosh, like please, nobody does the right thing. So just like don't blindly follow like trends and things online when it comes to your health, because it is not one size fits all. It is what works for you, and that's all that matters when it comes to your health. So I hope this was a helpful episode. It's a long-ass episode, but thank you for listening to Pretty Girls Club in 2023. I'm very grateful for your support. Kaying and I will be back. She will be behind the camera laughing at all the stupid things I say and editing this episode and all the episodes that you will see for the Pretty Girls Club. And we will come back in 2024 and have more fun than ever. And tell me all the crazy shit you want me to do. I want to do so many ridiculous, silly episodes. And let me know. I'll put like a Q&A thing. So if you're listening on Spotify, feel free to type in what you want to see on the Pretty Girls Club in 2024. And I might just surprise you and do it in 2025 instead. No, I'm kidding. But yes, I will see you on the podcast next year. And enjoy the rest of your year. Goodbye and stay safe.